However, relaxing vigilance was something that Ryan and JB wouldn't allow themselves or the group to do. They came to a bend in the corridor.
It should be just about here.
Ryan cautiously scanned the curve of the corridor before leading the party around. It was there.
Got it.
Think I must be double or triple stoop, but I can't see what you're getting excited about.
Up there.
What good does a maintenance hatch do us?
The maintenance ducts follow the line of the corridors. We can come out onto the elevator shaft, get down into one of the cars, then surprise these fire-blasted stoops when we get to the right level.
I like it, even though it sounds like it's going to be hard work.
No one said it was going to be easy.
Jack was the first to climb into the duct. Ryan cupped his hands to give the albino teen a foothold, and then he sprung up to the hatch with grace and ease, using the end of one of his knives to loosen the screws that held the hatch in place. Once it was open, he pulled himself inside and wriggled around, reaching down to give Dean a helping hand as the boy was next up. Inside the ducts, there was enough room for them to kneel without being cramped, and they'd soon assisted the Vildwellers into the space, having a little trouble with Abner, as the old Baron wasn't as fit as he would have liked to think. But, like Mac, he was still surprisingly agile for a man of his age and weight. Ryan was the last man up, having elected to go last in order to help JB, who was still having niggling doubts about how his ankle would hold up. Before Ryan jumped and caught hold of Jack and JB's hands, he passed up the hatch cover. When the two friends had helped Ryan into the duct, he placed the hatch cover over the hole, so at least it would look undisturbed at a cursory glance. It was dingy and dusty inside the duct. The air was thick and difficult to breathe. It was obvious that the duct had been neglected by the techs for some time. Ryan let Jack take the lead, the albino having a sure idea of the direction of the duct. They crawled in silence, unwilling to speak in the dust and heat that clawed at their throats. It seemed to take forever, but couldn't have been more than a few minutes before a cold blast of air swept across them.
Elevator shaft, ahead!
There was a blackness in front of them, where the lighting ceased, and a grill hatch covered the exit of the duct into the elevator shaft. Now, if either of the elevator cars was below the level of the grill, they could climb down through the emergency hatch on top of the car. If both cars were above them, they had a real problem. Fortune favored them, and the far car was just at the level below them. They had to scale across the cables before dropping down to its roof. Jack went first, dropping cat-like onto the car, and lifting the emergency hatch with one hand, the other grasping the .357 Magnum Colt Python, poised to blow away any opposition below. The car was empty, the doors shut.
"People, come!"
They made their way across to the car, dropping down into the well-lit interior. Ryan pressed the button that would take them down to the armory and comp room that controlled the redoubt.
What about Doc?
We look for him later. Best to try and secure first.
The elevator arrived at the right level, and everyone checked their blasters as the doors began to whir open.
This is it.
Wallace sat behind his desk, tapping his finger on its surface as he fixed the young private opposite him with a stony stare.
Sir, please don't do that.
Do you really want those outsiders to make fools of us all?
No, sir. But the Sarge says...
Screw that stoop. Hand that gun to me, boy, and we'll say no more about this.
Jen Wallace held out his hand for the H&K the private held. Mesmerized by the Jen's charisma, the private handed it over.
Thank you, boy. You're welcome. Stoop bastard. Never trust anyone in times of war. And this, most definitely, is a time of war.
When Ryan's raiding party had emerged from the elevator, it had been a swift and bloody race to the armory. They'd emerged around the back of Murphy's men, taking them by complete surprise. The sec men had been blasted before they even had the chance to turn and face their attackers. The segmen farther down the corridor had retreated until they were holed up in the armory. Put on the defensive, they'd retreated until the only secure place was the armory itself. There was no other way in, and there was no other way out. Murphy and 10 segmen were in the room, surrounded on both sides by Ryan's raiders, one group led by Jack and one by the one-eyed warrior himself. With Murphy pinned down, Mildred and JB had set off with their small party to secure the main comp center and closed down the comp systems controlling the redoubt. It was here that they got the biggest shock. Arriving at the door Wallace had guided them past during his tour, they found it unguarded.
A lucky day, John.
All right, people. You two, cover the hall. Mildred, you and me on the door.
Okay.
The armorer could only presume that Wallace had been so certain of his plan working that he had left this section manned only by the techs and whitecoats who worked here. Still, in a redoubt, they could probably all use blasters. He wasn't going to take chances. Bracing on his weaker ankle, J.B. used his good foot to kick open the door. Unlike most of the others in this section, it was a simple wooden door, which puzzled him. J.B. sprayed a short burst into the room. There was the small explosion of destroyed equipment, and the squeal of a tech mowed down at the knees. J.B. and Mildred stepped into the room. Immediately, the armorer could see why the door was a simple wooden barrier. This was only an outer room, with the inner chamber protected by the usual sector.
Dark night. What has that madman done?
What is it, John? What? Oh, my God.
J.B. and Mildred stood in front of a plexiglass window, staring at the Rat King. And their eyes were drawn to Doc.
Sweet Jesus. How could they? No, scratch that. J.B., we can't pull the plug until I see how Doc's connected. Leave me here with two for cover. Take one and get back to Ryan. Let him know what's going on, then get back here.
Okay.
J.B. left. Mildred went through the sector and anteroom, into the main comp room, where the skein of cables and wires connecting the Rat King slithered across the floor.
Let's see if I can get you detached, you damn crazy old fool.
I wouldn't be too sure about that.
Shit.
Mildred froze. She recognized the voice, but couldn't see the owner as she was bent over Doc. Where the hell was that idiot Vildweller when she needed her? The Vildweller was actually standing in the anteroom, her blaster raised. A cobbled-together mix of a Smith & Wesson stock with a homemade barrel welded to it, it hadn't been tested in combat as of yet. A rifle of indeterminate origin, lost in a welter of remakes and remodels, was on her shoulder, now out of ammo.
What happened to my cover?
Missy, I can't see her.
Of course she can't see me. You don't think I'm just going to walk in the most obvious door and be chilled, do you?
Shit. I should have figured you'd be protecting this monstrosity.
Mildred, slowly raising her head, caught sight of Dr. Trix standing in a shadowed corner of the computer room, a five-shot, two-inch Smith & Wesson 38 snubby in her grip. It was trained steadily on Mildred.
This is my territory. If Sarge takes over, then I get to devote all my time to this while he streamlines things. That suits me. I hate wasting my time on those other projects that are going nowhere. Let's be honest. Most of the people I have under me now are stoops. That's not their fault. I'm just a freak in a different way. But if I could can all the other junk and just work on this, then we might just have the power to take this pest hole of a country and put it back where it belongs. That would be wonderful. Did you realize that the mechanism operates at less than a thousandth of its potential?
I didn't. You know what I think?
What?
I think you're mistaking me for someone who gives a fuck. Now you can have your damn fool mechanism, and you and Murphy can do what the hell you want. But I'm going to disconnect Doc and get the hell out.
Don't touch him! You just don't get it. The Mobius cannot operate unless it has six linked minds. He's the only match we could find, and it was only divine interventions that brought him to us at the right time. You can't disconnect him. I won't let you.
Mildred moved to cover Doc with her body and hoped that the scientist was ignorant of firearms.
Lady, that isn't a military-issue blaster you've got there. I guess it's been in your line since before Skydark, and I'd also guess that you've never used it. You do know that if you fire at me now, the bullet will go right through and into Doc.
You're lying.
Your choice. Now, where to start with these wires?
Stop that right now!
The green one here? No. What about the red one?
I said stop!
Trix stepped forward. Her intention was to bring the blaster down on Mildred's head as a club, but in order to do that, she had to step into the line of fire from the woman who was covering Mildred. In her confusion, Trix had forgotten about her. The Vildweller raised her blaster and fired. Trix got lucky. There was a deafening report that made Mildred wince as the blaster exploded in the Vildweller's hand, amputating her arm near the elbow. The flash from the explosion seared the skin from her face, enlarging the snuffling hole that should have been a nose, her ragged and matted hair catching fire and forming a halo of flame around her head. Her scream was piercing.
Oh, my goodness!
Trix looked in horror, momentarily forgetting Mildred. Spinning, Mildred's foot followed through the momentum and caught Trix on the wrist, knocking the blaster from her hand and cracking the fragile bones in her mutie wrist. Mildred prepared to follow through with another attack.
What the? Who?
Trix's face took on a pained, mystified expression, her perfect mouth forming an O of surprise, her brown eyes bulging from the sockets as her white-coated torso became a mass of red.
But I'm beautiful.
Another shot continued across the room, striking the mainframe, which exploded in a fury of sparks and flame.
Oh, shit.
Mildred turned to the Vill-dweller who'd entered the chamber on hearing his companion's blaster explode. He was looking at the smoking, burned frame of his dead compatriot.
Thanks for that, but we've just really screwed things. I should have been more alert and that shot... No, never mind. It was the right thing. Just pray I can get Doc disconnected and us out of here before the damn thing blows.
Wallace made his way from his office to the armory. There was confusion all around him, scared techs and whitecoats running around aimlessly, not knowing what they were supposed to be doing. There were no orders anymore, and no regs drilled into them that allowed for such a situation. The gen waited patiently for the elevator car to reach his level. He stepped in and pressed the button for the level he wanted. His mind had completely snapped, and there was only one thing on that mind, Murphy's destruction. The chaos all around him told him that without the regs, there was only confusion. The Sarge had trashed those regs, and all that remained was the court-martial and sentence. As commanding officer, Wallace had already run the procedures in his mind, and arrived at the only possible conclusion. Murphy had to die. The elevator arrived at the required level. The doors creaked open, and Wallace stepped out. With a disdainful sniff, he smelled the cordite and stench of death in the air. He took in the corpses of his own sec-men, chilled by the surprise attack of the outsiders.
So much for your brilliant tactics, Sarge Murphy.
The sporadic bursts of blaster fire became louder as Jen Wallace walked through the mayhem. The armory was up ahead. He could see two groups of outsiders clustered around the entrance to the room, covering the corridor that led at its terminus to the armory. The entry was protected by a barricade of boxes, stacked to provide cover for the sec force holed up within. Wallace strode through the outsiders as though they weren't even there, ignoring the blaster fire that rang out around him.
Sir, it's the gen!
Murphy, lurking at the back of the armory, didn't realize what was being said. He was busy searching for a gren that would be powerful enough to take out the outsiders, but wouldn't endanger his own men or the redoubt. A lifetime of learning about the caverns and fault lines that surrounded the Enclave had led him to believe that triggering a large explosion would cause a disturbance that could endanger the stability of the redoubt's very structure.
Sir! The gen!
What? Damn!
Hold your fire!
Who the fuck is that dipshit?
Jen Wallace. Used to be in charge here. We were the excuse for him to be deposed by Murphy.
So what's he doing?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Fucked if he is.
Christy saw Wallace remove the gren from his pocket.
We've got big trouble, lover.
You're telling me, if he lets a gren loose in the armory, we need to be two levels up, or at least get that sec door down.
No, it's worse than that. It's almost as if the Earth Mother herself is screaming a warning to me. When he lets that gren go, we need to be as far away from here as possible.
Murphy was at the front of the barricade, looking over the top as Wallace approached.
What's that crazy?
Jen, what do you want?
To even the score, Sarge. You have been tried under Reg 17B, Subsection A. You're guilty as hell, boy.
Shit, what are you talking about? What trial? There's no trial. I'm in command here.